Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games are right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
To our mates at King G, welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
G'day everybody, lovely to have your company on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Plenty of footy ahead of us, a few games already gone. We're going to dig deep into those and have a look ahead as well. So much on the dance card today as I look at it. We are going to speak to Michael Morgan, who is, of course has called it quits on his career. Daly Cherry Evans, after that field goal at the death for Manly to get them the first victory of the season, he will also join us. And Jerome Luai, a superstar for a superstar rugby league side, the Penrith Panthers. Speaking of which, Ryan Girdler is with me, as is Mark Guy. MG, I saw you on the telly last night, pre-game, having a chat. You were there with the 1991 Premiership winning side. That you were on the field as the team ran out, and you were honoured, and they did the job beautifully. Before we get to that game, how was the reunion for you?
Oh, it was awesome, Tone. Yeah, it was fantastic. We had a 10-year reunion, we had a 20-year reunion, now 30-year reunion. And the funny thing about it was, you know, when you used to go to school reunions and you wondered who that guy was or who that girl was because they'd changed so much. In
Yeah, need name tags.
Yeah, but that wasn't the case last night. Every time someone would rock up, you go, there's Macca and there's, you know, Joey Vitanza and there's Gubba, and it's just it's a kinship. Gerds will tell you that when you win a competition together, it's probably as a sportsman, it's the best thing you can ever do. It's, you know, I remember that day vividly, and when Roy scored that try, and then Brandy kicked the goal from the sideline, the jubilation that I had within inside me, I've never felt again. Obviously, it's different when you have children and you get married because they're kind of, you know,
it's so personal,
roles.
Yeah.
But when
you share that with the community, don't you? And you could see that again last night.
Yeah, absolutely.
And last night, too, Gerds, you see some of the fans from back in 91 who are still as vocal and as rampant today. And I'll tell you what, the atmosphere there last night with 20,000, nearly 21,000 people was just extraordinary. It was fantastic, Tone. And to all the boys who are waking up with sore heads this morning, I'm with you.
Who was worst on ground?
Worst on ground. I can't give anyone in. I can't dob anyone in.
Do the relationships change? Do the relationships change from that, you know, when you were young kids and you played together and there was a pecking order and all those sorts of things? As the years go by and people are doing different things in their lives, or does everybody kind of fit back into where they were?
I think they all fit back into where they were. You know, we had obviously, Brandy was there last night, kind of working. He was interviewing us for Fox.
Yep.
And then he got the night off, which was great of them. Freddie, unfortunately, didn't get the night off. He was required for the Channel 9 duties, but he'd done the lap of honour with us. And, you go back into the exact same roles. Paul Nobby Clark holds court. You know, he's full of jokes. And you've got the other guys who are really deep thinkers like Paul Dunn and Barry Walker and... But just lovely men. And to see them all last night, it just brings back so many memories. You know how hard you work to get that premiership ring, and you've done it with this bunch of blokes. And now here we are 30 years later and, you know, embracing and loving the new team that's coming through. It looks like they're going to be unstoppable.
How were you guys received? Because 30 years is a long time, and you spoke about seeing some fans that, you know, obviously supported you back in the day and are still going to games now, but the majority of people there last night wouldn't have probably been alive and been supporting you guys back then. I mean, how did they receive you guys?
Epically.
Yeah.
It was a standing ovation by the whole crowd. Everyone, you know, it was a slow kind of lap of honour in the back of convertibles, thanks to Hertz and... none of the current squad at Penrith were born when we won the comp, so there's an indication. And most of the fans, they probably, or the young ones especially, would, you know, just go through what their parents had to say. But the ovation was unbelievable last night, and then we settled in to watch a fantastic contest, and we watched the Premiership favourites strut their stuff. It was amazing.
Yeah, and Ivan Cleary did pay credit to you guys how important that side was to the setup and the future of the Panthers, and I'm sure he would have told that to those young, that young team surrounding
him. I remember how important that was for us.
Really?
To know that someone had sort of walked that to that place before you in that same organisation, I think is really important.
Yep.
Because sometimes you just think it's a bridge too far, especially when you're a young team or you have a team that hasn't had a lot of success, and all of a sudden I think you draw from the experience of, especially, and a lot of people say, a lot of the focus is always on the 91 as opposed to the 03, and I say, yeah, and rightly so, because, I mean, these guys walked a path that no one else had been on.
Yep.
And it's like the first child, you know, and it's very, very special, and it was so good to just to watch how they were received last night and to see some of those characters, because I went there in 93, so I got to play with probably 90% of those guys, because it was only a couple of years after they won the grand final under different conditions.
Yeah.
But I got to know some of those guys really well, and it was great to see them there last night. Good on them.
Well, certainly they would have been made proud by the performance of the current young guns, the Panthers. We're going to get there next.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
MG Ryan Gerler. My name is Tony Squires. Reedy isn't with us this week, but he is going to join us for some of his mail later.
Got a better offer, has he? Or got another job? What's he up to, Reedy?
Well, he sees himself as a semi-professional footballer.
Oh, does he?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Bullshit.
Absolutely.
I call bullshit on that.
How do other people see him, Tony? Which is more important.
A lot less charitable than that. Exactly. Well, you know, he was pretty good. He played A-League.
He did play A-League for the Brisbane.
Yeah, but that's when the A-League wasn't the A-League.
What was the B-League then?
It was the C-League.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it was called back then, but it certainly wasn't. I don't think they had a lot of people coming from other places to play and compete.
Right.
I think it was more of a local game, wasn't it? Just to, you know.
Yeah, just pick up a team just, from around the joint. Yeah,
I don't know.
He was apparently pretty good, though. Well, if you ask Reedy, he was very, very good. Reedy thinks he's very good at most things. Okay. Well, he's had a good job until he
decided to play football instead of turning up.
Exactly. Well, talking about turning up, last night, everybody was looking so much forward to the Panthers-Raiders game. Two of the competition's heavyweights, see how they go around, because we had last week a lot of lopsided scorelines. When I look at that Taipei Power scoreboard now, it was still heavily the Panthers' way, 30-10. They both started off, and MG, you mentioned it, the atmosphere was really good. There was a kind of bit of nerves early, wasn't there? Yeah. You know, it was drop ball before they kind of clicked into gear.
Yeah, you're right, Tone. It was a bit clumsy the first 20 minutes, and I think with Penrith at the moment, they've got so many, like maybe five or six players in their team are the best at that position in the competition at the minute.
Yeah.
You know, you've got To'o on the wing who just is unbelievable. Fisher Harris is in career best form. Billy Kikau, every time he gets the ball, it's look out. And the halves, well, my goodness. Nathan Cleary just is Mr. Consistent. And Jerome Luai, I think he's had nine try assists already this year in five games. His performance last night has just catapulted him into calculations for the Origin 5-8 spot big time. Now that Luke Keary has been injured, and if that was a selection trial last night between Jerome Luai and Jack Whiten, Luai won hands down.
Yeah, absolutely. Jack Whiten started. I mean, Canberra, they came through in the first few minutes, and then they scored through Jack Whiten. A try not dissimilar to in the left-hand side to the Greys grand final try, where it was just powerful, too strong. And I thought, they are here to play.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and they were up that try. And then from the kickoff, might have been Hudson Young.
It was a good kickoff by Cleary. And he's got those different elements to his game where he can just... You know, you see a lot of teams, and we witnessed it last night, calling the Warriors and the Manly game. You know, they have a try scored against them. They get someone to come back, and they kick out on the full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a massive play. That was a really tight game. We'll go into that a little bit later. Nathan Cleary has a team score against him, and he generates in a way to get the ball back off the kickoff. Yep. You know, there's moments like that in the game. He's regularly able to execute. It's quite outstanding, but... Yeah, Jack, I think sometimes they need to find a better way to get him into the contest. He sort of gets, for mine, stuck out on that left side a lot. And I find that when him, that combination is probably not where it needs to be moving forward with Hodgson, young halfback in Williams and Jack. Yet it just doesn't seem, especially when they meet a side that Williams, to me, likes a defensive line that's not set He likes a broken defensive line. He's a really good runner of the ball. But when he's got a set line in front of him, he seems to struggle with his options. There was a couple of times last night he ran around in circles and went around players on his inside and was penalised for a shepherd. So they got a fair bit of work to do.
True, but to be fair to him, he was coming up against a defensive line that has caused trouble for everybody so far this season. How many points have they conceded? Not a lot.
No, absolutely not. But that, I mean, that's what you need.
26.
Ricky said it at the end of the game. He said, we just learnt tonight how far we are away from being one of these teams that are going to compete.
MG, Gerds and I were talking just before we came on air about the pain that the Panthers forward pack can inflict. They've got guys who are just kind of all hard, pointy edges. Just go hard at people.
Yeah, Moses Liatto is very much an improved player. I mentioned Fisher-Harris. Kickow, Capewell, what an addition he's been to the pack. When you've got Liam Martin coming off the bench, and he'd be the starting back rower in any other team. Spencer Lienu, same. The young Firebrand, they've got a fantastic bench. Tyra May comes off the bench. They've got so much depth. And Isaiah Yeo has just gone next level as well since he's got that Origin jersey last year. And I think the captaincy suits him. The captaincy suits Nathan Cleary as well. He's really growing into that role as well. The Gerds mentions so many facets of his game that he's good at. Well, I think he's going to be a great captain as well.
Yep.
When you go through the lineup last night, Tony, they've got a few players at the moment in that side, in that 17. They came up against some, you know, some heavyweights in the Raiders who, you know, haven't played a lot of first grade or are new to that system or are replacing someone that's out injured. If you go through that side, look at young Staines, first year of first grade.
Yeah.
Momorowski doing a great job but being at a heap of different clubs because we've got some injuries in the centres. Matty Burton usually plays in the halves. Young To'o in his second year. And then you
on the other side too, Gerds.
Yeah, and playing on the other side of that. And then you go to young Mitch Kenny. Like he's just come in to do something for Apricora. So there's half a dozen guys in that side at the moment that are inexperienced and that have just come into a system and shows you how well that system has been put together. Incredible. Yeah.
The Raiders obviously were affected when Nicol Klukstad had to come off with the HIA and didn't get back in. And obviously, your fullback who helps guide your defensive system, I think Rapinoe went back there, and you can see he was exhausted, for much of that second half. Yeah. It's a tough game.
It was really hard. That left edge then, and then Penrith usually attacked down the ledge, started sort of pushing over to that right-hand side and had a little bit of joy over there because they end up having, you know, guys in the back row, then, you know, Whitehead went into the centres and then Croker, who's a great centre, great defensive centre, but then found himself out on the wing. So, yeah, it threw their defence into disarray and really, you know, has an impact on their attack as well. I think we saw last night, though, with Penrith, with young Crichton, I think we saw last night that he's a better centre than he's a fullback. I know that, you know, you don't want to judge him on one game, but we've probably had a couple of games with him now and we saw when he got into a situation where he played like he could as a centre when he got on the outside and threw that lovely pass to Staines to score. I think he's a lot more comfortable there in the centres and he looks like, fullbacks these days need to be able to take the ball under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, they get knocked around. You see those guys, Dylan Edwards and those guys. I mean, when they play, they're constantly on the ball. They're super fit, but they get knocked around. And I think Crichton, for mine, is a player that when he gets the ball, he needs a little bit of time and space to show us what he can really do.
And he was
really
slightly out of position. Obviously, the Croker no try, which probably could have been a try through that kick. He was just a little bit out of position there. I do like, in terms of that confrontational thing, a couple of things. Even Tarpany, he was waiting on the sideline to come on.
I'm on my own business. What am I doing to this melee?
He's holding a little card, waiting to go on. Staines scores in the corner. I think might have even been Crichton decided to drag him into the celebration.
He did.
And suddenly he was public enemy. He was in the middle of a bunch of them.
You can bet your bottom dollar. Next time these two players are going to be fireworks, especially after the Viking clap last night.
And did you do the Viking clap, MG, from the stands?
I did. It was hard not to.
Yeah, I bet it was.
It's one of my favourite things in the game to watch, and to be part of it last night was awesome. I know the Raiders mightn't have liked it, but it's kind of an act of it's more of a thing of respect, I think, showing that, you know, we love that and we're doing it back to you tonight, I suppose. And they'll be smarting after that loss, and Ricky will have them fired next time they play, especially after all the little, you know, niggles last night.
Yeah. Josh Hodgson's been so important for the Raiders for such a long time. He was slow to get into the game, and then once he did, they looked good, and then, of course, he was injured.
Mm.
What do you think?
Oh yeah, he's an integral part of their team. You know, I think that the Klokstad injury can't be underestimated. He runs close to 200 metres a game. He's their fittest player in their team. And once he got replaced, you could noticeably see the Raiders' attack kind of drop to another level, being live at the game. And you saw that Rapana is nowhere as fit as Klokstad because some of the attacking raids where Klokstad just is there all the time. And that probably goes back to Gerd's point about Crichton as well at fullback. Dylan Edwards is Penrith's fittest player. And to play fullback these days, you've got to be. Same goes with Pappenhausen and Tedesco. So he was a massive loss last night when he got injured.
But they're a lot more dangerous when he's got the ball in his hands other than, you know, when he just picks it up and passes it to the halves. I mean, you've seen Jack White, and he's a great runner of the football, and I think that's where Williams is good as well, you know, when he runs the ball at a broken line. But if you take the creativity from Hodgson and don't let him get involved and find a way to shut him down from marker and dummy half, you really limit their opportunities.
All right, you're both Penrith legends, and I know you want to keep a lid on it, but you got to admit, Penrith, they're the benchmark.
Absolutely. There's just no denying anymore, Tony, where they're at, and every side's going to come after them. They've got a real, a strut in there, a little swagger at the moment.
Yeah.
And, some teams are going to really come after them in a lot of different ways, but, they're... I think it's infectious the way they go about their business. It looks like they love the battle. They love the contest. I think that's what a lot of other sides at the moment, you know, it's all well and good to enjoy the scoring of tries and all those sort of moments. But the sides that really love getting involved in the process and doing the dirty stuff and rolling their sleeves up, and Penrith are that side.
The defensive side of rugby league, which is the hardest part of rugby league. They seem to just revel in it. And I think they're the second youngest team in the competition outside of the Broncos, so they've still got a lot of growth to do, but they're loving their footy at the moment. Why wouldn't you? It's over 600 days since they've been beaten at Penny Park, so it is a graveyard for other teams, and other teams know when they come there they're going to face a formidable outfit, and now that we're kind of on the other side, touch wood, of COVID, seeing 21,000 people packed in that stadium last night was so awesome, awesome.
Yep, they love the contest and they clearly love each other. You can see that in how they go about their business. Jerome Luai, one of those guys who's the instigator of much that happens there. He will join us a little bit later on the show right here on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
For Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
You'll all know that Rugby League lost one of its true characters this week in Tommy Raudonikis.
We've lost one of the legends of Rugby League. Tommy Raudonikis.
I've probably got no regrets, but I suppose I liked a good time a little bit too much.
But I've forgotten.
I played it with a passion. I was loyal.
Where I was.
He's died at the age of 70 after a long battle with cancer.
Starting straight through all the board, I will accept you once
more. Whatever jersey I wore, I played my bum out for it.
Tommy made his name back in the day as the halfback for the Western Suburbs Magpies and the mighty Newtown Jets.
Got two wooden spoons. Wasn't very nice.
He played for Australia 29 times and was a regular in the New South Wales Blues.
State of origin, there's no more biff-ups, and that's what's affecting the game.
Even having a crack as coach in the 90s.
Where I got the biggest kick was coaching New South Wales.
He played 238 professional games of rugby league, and this was back in the 70s and 80s. It was tough.
Yous are tough, and yous can't go and swing a punch. You can't do anything.
He'll be most remembered running amok in the mighty Western Suburbs Magpies jersey. The son of Ukrainian parents, he became the epitome of what it is to be Australian. Inducted into the NRL Hall of Fame, awarded an Order of Australia medal, and infamous as an Aussie larrikin.
Mick put his hand up and said, "Coach, let's call it the cattle dog."
The legend, Tommy Raudonikis. Rest in peace, mate.
Indeed. If you wrote the character for a movie, nobody would believe it. It's just amazing. You heard off the top there that it was cancer that took Tommy Raudonikis, but it took 30 years to get him. He fought and he fought exactly the way he played on the rugby league field, MG.
Yeah, Tone. He honestly did. And I think he had a heart bypass in 2006 as well. So the little man was a fighter, but he also was a party animal. He used to love a party. And I had the good fortune of, being on the same card as him, as in a lot of speaking gigs with him and the late, great Arthur Beetson. And just seeing them two do their stuff, it was just, you knew you were watching royalty just unfold. And I remember, because of them two guys I just mentioned, Tommy and Arthur Beetson, State of Origin is the juggernaut it is today. They both said, yep, I'll captain this first thing called Origin. And I think Arthur was in reserve grade for Parramatta at the age of 35 or something when he did it. And I think Tommy was about 31 playing for Newtown. And they started something that here we are 40 years later is the biggest thing in rugby league. And I think that epitomises both these men. Tommy was just a magic bloke. Yeah, well, what you saw is what you get. And he always finished with, and I really mean that, when he talked to you, he'd say something, but, he always says to me when I was, retired, he said, but if I coached you, big fella, I would have told you never to change, I said, well, I never did change, mate. a few coaches told me, they tried to teach me to train, but no. Loss. And the outpouring of emotion and tributes kind of solidifies his status in our game.
Yeah, totally. The thing that I kind of, maybe the moment in this week just going through what everybody's had to say that appealed most to me was, it's not that we all know about his toughness, yeah, his legendary and, crossing the line, out-and-out violence, let's be honest. And he didn't shy away from it. He was who he was.
Yep. That was the game then, wasn't it?
That was the game. And he was a little bloke protecting his turf and leading his team. So, but that's all by the by. What I loved, I saw Les Boyd being interviewed. And he talked about all those stories of the toughness of the man. But the thing that got me was that he said, and you mentioned Arthur Beetson, and I know he has the same feeling there. He said that at the end of every conversation he'd have with Tom Raudonikis, he'd say, I love you, mate.
Yeah.
Mm. And he expressed that emotion, which to me speaks wonders for him.
Yeah, it's often seen as a big man's game, isn't it, rugby league? And we've got so many little guys that come in, and especially the little guys that come in and lead and are leaders, and some of them don't do it with words, some of them do it with actions. And to see some of the footage of what Tommy used to do just to lift the people around him is just phenomenal.
Yeah,
and we were lucky, MG and I played with some people. Jeff Toovey's another little guy that comes to mind when you think about, didn't have a lot to say, but just would hold
Craig
everyone.
Craig
Gower would hold everyone accountable while around them without saying anything, just because of their size and their determination and their will to win, and none more than Tommy. Yeah. What a legend.
I wish I'd been on the speaking circuit with you, MG. I remember I was in the under-19s, in Lake Macquarie. We had a sportsman's night one, and Tom Raudonikis was the guest speaker. And it was, I've never heard swearing like it, because I obviously hadn't met my wife at that point. But it was just went work blue, but it
I have seen so many jaws drop when he speaks.
Absolutely.
But you know what? Just in all seriousness, and I know we're probably saying this, that now that we're all thinking about his status in the game and lamenting now that the little man's gone, but. Some of these young guys are in our game at the minute, these little guys who are under the pump, the Milfords of the game, and Ben Hunt up until this year, they could do with a YouTube watch of this guy, who his magpies were often wooden spooners, but that didn't stop him from taking aim at the biggest forward in the other team and trying to knock his head off just to lift his team. And that's kind of that's where the biting down in your mouth guard type of analogy comes from. Just get in there and have a go. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Well, if you go for his head. Yeah, exactly. Being sent off probably, MG.
Yeah, well, maybe just do a little bit less than what Tommy would have done. But I was a Manly fan, and he took Les Boyd on one day. I went, what's he doing?
And those were best mates from West.
What's he doing?
Amazing. Amazing stories. Amazing human being. Sad loss for rugby league. Vale Tommy Raudonikis.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
And it's an absolute pleasure now to be joined by a man, played 168 games for the Cowboys. He won a premiership, a dozen games for Queensland, a dozen for Australia as well. Sadly for Michael Morgan, that career is over due to that chronic shoulder injury. He joins us right here, right now. G'day, Michael.
G'day, thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Just can I start off by saying congratulations on a wonderful career. How do you feel? Is there a sense of relief? Is there any slight emptiness, or is it just excitement? Where are you at?
Yeah, thank you, mate. It's a bit of a combination of all of them, I think. The relief comes from it's been a difficult 12 months, the things I went through with my shoulder. So relief in that sense that I'm not trying again to get it right to play. But like pretty sad that it's all finished up. You retired a long time, I hear.
Well, yeah. Morgan, right, mate. Congratulations. Fantastic career, mate. Loved watching you play. Just tell us a little bit about how difficult it's been over the past probably couple of months, just trying to get yourself ready to play with that injury.
Yeah, well, I did a lot of work in the off-season and the pre-season, knowing that, just because of the troubles I had with it. So I came into this season and the pre-season and said, I'm going to give myself every chance to, have a good year and stay fit for the year. So I left no stone unturned in getting myself ready for it. And I got to a point where I was very confident with it defensively. My shoulder was feeling really good. Strength was really good. Unfortunately, yeah, it was one tackle in the Dragons game, and I just felt a massive crunch through it. I think it was the screws breaking, bit of cartilage and everything else that's in there that's not looking great as well. So, unfortunately, yeah, it's what did it.
Obviously, we celebrated last night our 30-year reunion for Penrith's 91 grand final win, Mick. Whole lot of your career winning the grand final with your best mates.
Definitely, mate. Yeah, I feel very lucky to have to be able to win one. As everyone knows, they're extremely hard to come by. So it's a huge privilege, and to be part of the first Cowboys team to ever do it. And yeah, some of those guys in that team will be some of my best mates for life. So that is very special.
I'd imagine, mate, being up at the club and obviously being so passionate about the organisation, to see them in the spot they are at the moment must be pretty hard. And now knowing that you can't contribute much on the field is going to be also a bit of a process you need to go through.
Yeah, it is. It is difficult. There's part of me that feels very bad that I can't, continue to help, in a physical way. I've spoken with Todd and he wants me to, stick around particularly for this year and help out where I can. If there's something that I could offer any of the guys, I'd love to do that. So, it's not the start of the season we wanted, obviously. Todd, we worked hard through the preseason to try and, change the way we wanted to play. And we've shown it, but, when you've been doing something for, a lot of guys have been developed through a certain system or a different system to what we've got now. So changes weren't going to, be extreme overnight. And as much as we would have liked that to happen, it will be a bit of a process, I think.
Michael, just going back to the shoulder, people obviously have to make decisions for varying reasons. For you, obviously, your wife Brianna, she's been involved there, and your daughter Penelope, who you want to throw into the air, and those kind of injuries. There are things in your life that impact you, aren't there, that are other than the football field. The cause may have come from there, but the reasons for not being there are very different.
Yeah, you're right. There are. It is a bit like that. After the first game this year, or the Dragons game, it was, 3-4 days before I could pick her up comfortably, and she's only 6-7 kilos. So, but that's, it's just something I dealt with that I had to get through and get right each week. But it is the small things like that, the little things in life that, take for granted a bit. And, now I'll definitely appreciate them a lot more, knowing that, I don't need to put myself through those physical battles anymore. So it's probably something I won't miss about the game.
Just back to the Cowboy side of it, buddy. You mentioned the different structures and stuff that Toddy Payton's brought to the table. What's the biggest difference between him as a coach and Greeny?
There's a few pretty big differences. They're very different personalities. Toddy's, you can see the way he speaks, and I don't know if you know him at all as a person, but what you see on TV, he's, what he's like in person. He's very honest. He's has a very laid back, chill demeanor about him. But he can, when he speaks without blowing up, he doesn't really give a spray, but he's got the personality that you can get a stern talking to, and it means probably just as much as a spray, if not more. We saw images of Greeny over the years. He didn't mind a spray now and then. They're different in that way. Yeah.
What about you've played with some of the modern legends of the game in your career, both with the Cowboys and, of course, with the Maroons? They obviously, the Cam Smith and Jonathan Thurston, they just stick out for you?
Yeah, definitely. I was a teenager growing up, here, watching them play for, obviously JT here, but watching them play for Queensland, and to actually be able to do that and, play in that arena with them. Even now, it's something I am very proud of, and I'll look back one day and be proud of it as well. But You know, yeah, right now I'm extremely proud of it, and it's a massive highlight of my career. I said yesterday in my press conference that you know, I'm lucky enough to play with and against some of my childhood heroes. Yeah, that's two of them.
You're only 29, Mick. What about what's that life have you in store for you outside of footy? I mean, if you know, just say for instance the Cowboys this year, then have you got a trade or after any tertiary education?
No, I haven't had a trade or anything, mate. I, you know, 17 and started training full time. So the Cowboys and footy is all I've ever known. So I'm not 100% sure yet. I'm not in a huge rush. The club have been good, and you know, they'll give me a bit of time off. But like I said, if Toddy wants me in there, I'm still hanging around. It's not like I'm going anywhere. So I can wander down and help out where I can. So. Long term, though, I'm not sure, mate. Just enjoy retirement for now, I think.
Yeah, whatever it is, I'm sure you'll be very successful at it. It's been great to watch you play, and whenever we've had the opportunity, terrific to talk to you. So congratulations once again on your career, Michael Morgan.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much, guys.
There he is.
Gee, he was good. What about that year they won the comp? And yeah. Then was it the following year? When
I think it was. Was it 2 years after that?
Or when JT was out, 2017 maybe, when he played halfback?
17, yeah.
He got Dallium Halfback of the Year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he took him all the way to the GF. Yeah, he did. And
that's right, against Melbourne. Yeah,
absolutely did.
Incredible ride.
There it is, 168 games for the Cowboys, as I said, 12 for Queensland and a dozen for Australia as well. Michael Morgan no longer lacing up the boots. A man who still is, of course, and used them to great effect in a one-point win for Manly is Daly Cherry Evans. He'll join us next on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Manly over the Warriors, 13 points to 12, and what a finish.
Here's Krobojevic.
Quick play the ball.
5 seconds. Croker back to DCE. He has a shot.
He got it.
He had a shot. I think he's kicked it.
Yes.
I think he's kicked it, DCE. With 2 seconds to go. Field goal, Manly. Field goal. DCE, Manly win 13-12. Right on the bell.
Oh, what a way to win a game of rugby league. And Daly Cherry Evans joins us right here, right now. G'day, mate.
Hey, fellas. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you? A win. Was the sun shining a bit brighter, birds chirping this morning when you woke up?
Oh, hey, fellas, you're obviously well aware of how long it's taken us to get a win this year. So that was, that was a sweet one.
And the Chaz, way...
It's cometh the hour, cometh the man. Obviously, it was talking that it was either going to be you or young Schuster to kick the field goal. Was it ever in doubt that you were going to take it?
Obviously, the first one we gave Shuey a crack. Just a bit of a different look. But yeah, once you miss that first one, mate, you only get one chance with those sorts of things.
he's a good kid, isn't he?
He is, mate. He's got so much ability. And I guess we all sort of saw a glimpse in his debut. And his ability is never going to be tested. So we've just got to make sure he keeps working hard on his game and keep improving. But I definitely see a long future for him.
Mate, it took you guys a while to sort of set up for that. I mean, you had chances sort of a little bit earlier on, but the wind was really strong, wasn't it? Coming, there was a southerly blowing, and you guys struggled running into that wind with all your kicks. And yeah, you waited till the very death to have a shot.
Yeah, mate, you're right. It really snuck up on us, that breeze. When we came out after half time, it was pretty non-existent in the first half, to be honest. And then got a bit of a shot running out to it, and those kicks, like you said, on last tackle were a bit harder to get in the corner. So I felt like we were probably in range a few times late in that second half, but I didn't want to risk it. There's so much risk with a 7-tackle set now, mate. So I just wanted to make sure that when we were taking that shot, there wasn't going to be much time left on the clock for them to punish if we miss.
One kick you didn't have any issues with was the one you put through for Jason Saab. He can move. My goodness.
He's got a set of wheels, doesn't he, fellas?
Yeah.
They say he's the fastest in the comp. They reckon he's the fastest in the comp.
Yeah, look, it's one of those ones. We're never going to know, but he's definitely out there. I mean, I don't know how you ever determine that. They got the GPS stats on him and stuff like that, but he'll sort of always be up that top line of speed runners in our game, mate. He's a proper athlete.
For you, how far behind him over 100 are you, Daly? Can you can you get close?
Get started, I'll give myself.
Exactly. Some of the completion rates weren't great. I mean, but there just seemed like yesterday a better attitude around defence. Looked like you had a better plan when you had the football, a little bit more patient, a little bit more respect for those elements of the game. Was that the difference?
Yeah, mate, to be fair, you've summed it up pretty well there, Gerds. mate, we wanted to have a bit more of an emphasis on our start and in particular the way we defended early. So I thought we did that really well. And once we gave ourselves a chance, mate, to start the game well, you only had to look at the first month of footy. We were done at halftime, you know.
Yep.
At the time, we certainly didn't think we were done at halftime. When you watch it back, you should have, geez, that's a big hill to cover. But, mate, this week, we started well. We gave ourselves a chance. We went into halftime tight. And then, obviously, it's the Warriors side we beat yesterday, mate. So it was nice to really hang in there late in the game and come up with a result. It's the sort of stuff you can build your season around.
And then next week you got Mudgee, Glen Willow Oval against the Titans. That's a nice little road trip for you. Nice little winery out there as well.
Ah, mate, I know. Maybe if we were winning a few more games, we could have gone for a wine tour. But I dare say she'll be all business, fellas.
Hey, you got a couple of good young guys coming through though, Chairs. Like, I mean, the form of young Paseka. Like, he's been great for you guys. I mean, starting off, obviously, he's filling a big hole with Adden gone. But, yep. I mean, the way that he starts the game, plenty of aggression up in the face, got an offload in him. And then when Kepi comes on as well, mate, you're getting a similar sort of result.
Yeah, those young fellas are really going well, mate. They've been playing first grade for maybe sort of 2 or 3 years now. So they're at that stage, to be fair, where they need to sort of show that they're a first grader, and I think they're doing that, mate. They're answering the call. Nella in particular, mate. I mean, I don't know what his allegiance is. I hope it's not New South Wales, because I honestly reckon he's heading down that path. I really do.
How has it been in terms of the spirit within the group? And you get that win, that's going to do absolute wonders for you. But with Desi and so on, how have you coped with these past few weeks?
Yeah, look, everyone copes with it differently. Some people watch footy, some people don't watch footy this day and age. Like, it's not as, you know, players don't always watch footy. You know, that's certainly changed over, you know, my time in the game. But, you know, I guess most of us are sort of aware of what's getting said. Not necessarily all the details, but you sort of understand, like, there's a bit of chat about your club and stuff. So, you know, that we all knew that the best thing that we could do was go out there and put in a performance that we could be proud of, firstly, and then secondly, you know, if we get a result, it puts all the negativity at bay for at least a week anyway. So we've bought ourselves a week, but we know there's so much more hard work to come, but I really think we're up to the challenge.
Always nice on a Friday night, mate, to have that win. And what about you? You going to watch a few games over the weekend or just spend some time with the family?
Yeah, both, mate. Definitely enjoy watching footy, so I'll always have it on in the background if I'm at home, and wrestle the kids with the remote and try and get my show on. But I do enjoy watching the footy, mate. So yeah, it's, and I'd probably watch it with the volume on now that we've won. But usually it's with loss. I watch it on mute. I don't want to hear him talk about us.
Cheers. The game has undergone a bit of a change since COVID last year, i.e. the new rules we've implemented into the game that have seemed to have sped the game up. What's your take on the process that the rule changes have been brought into the game, and are you a fan of all of them?
Look, I mean, like, some of them no, some of them yes. I think the scrums in particular has been a great one for the game. That's really livened it up a fair bit. And look, I mean, the game's quick. The game was already quick. I think it's the ball in play that's the biggest one. You know, we've all identified that now. It's not necessarily how quick it is. It's the ball in play. So your fatigue levels are just going to get sort of more and more, I guess, and earlier in a game. So I think it's something that's still being managed by all clubs and all teams. We're not really going to know the full impact of this till probably later again this year. And I know we're all identifying a lot of injuries at the moment, but, you know, I don't think we can blame all of them on the way the game's being played, but It certainly has had an impact, though. I'm not saying anything else other than that, you know. It has made a big impact, but I think everyone's adapting, players and clubs.
Therefore, if the game's changed the way that you're saying it has, does it change recovery? Does it change preparation? Do you guys behave differently now midweek other than what you have previously?
Yeah, I reckon there's, again, I still think we're learning about that sort of stuff, Gerds. But, yeah, I think there does need to be a bit more of a shift around recovery. Sometimes less is more, if I'm honest. I know for me that probably works a bit more than others, I guess. But, yeah, I'm super conscious now of what a day off looks like. And, you know, still not like not doing anything. Doing nothing's usually the worst thing you can do. So I do try and always get moving, get in the water, a bit of a stretch. I think that sort of stuff is invaluable for you as you're playing through the season.
Doing nothing is not good for you, but I've got to change my regime. That's no good at all.
just not every day, Tane. Yeah. Like maybe three times a week. I do nothing
three times a week. It's really good. What about, I heard a little whisper that Tom Pravojevic has had a fitness test today and he should be good to go next week.
Well, that's music to my ears, fellas. I'm happy with that.
Well, you lost your one last night too, didn't you? How are some of those injuries? I think Jack's out for the season, Des might have said in the press conference, and Dylan doesn't look like it's a short-term issue either.
Yeah, both didn't look too good from what I've heard, but I think they've still got to go get their scans and stuff. So we'll cross our fingers for the boys. They've been two pretty reliable fellas for us for a while, so it'll be a shame to see them out for too long, but... Again, fingers crossed the scans hold up all right.
All right, mate. Always a pleasure to speak with you. Congratulations on that win and the field goal to get the job done.
Good on, Chez.
Thanks for having us, lads. Have a good day.
Will do. You too. Bye-bye. There is Daly Cherry Evans on the back of Manly's 13-12 win over the Warriors, one they have been breathing hard over and waiting for a long time. Plenty to come. We are going to get Reedy's Mail next on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.